Greetings, everyone, and welcome to Sundays with Sue Charita. It is Sunday, February 15th, 2015. I am Sue Charita, and I'm happy to invite all of you to join the monthly forecast of the sun transiting into Aquarius, the natural 11th house in the zodiac, and our friendly Vedic astrologer for this program, Radha, is going to be joining us as well. And she will be giving us the insights on what the sun is going to do to our psyche, our physical, our emotional well-being, illuminating that area of our life that we can focus on and then get the results that we want to see, maybe set our goals or our intentions around those areas, and then see if we can experience fruitful results in the next 30 days as the sun transits into that sign. And then we are also going to be giving a heads up about Shivaratri, which is a really, really important night that we can connect with the male and female energies of our body, mind, and soul. So everyone has masculine and feminine qualities. And or as the Chinese say, the yin and the yang, you know, the opposites, so that we can be balanced in our lives. So if one is out of balance, if we're more feminine or more masculine, we're going to have different ways of being or experiencing life. So it's really important to tap into Shiva's energy. One night of the year, you can keep vigil. And we'll talk about how you can do that after we have our meditation and then the forecast for the sun transit, and then we'll open the call for that kind of discussion. But for now, what we'll do is we will get into our meditation pretty quick so that we can have time for some questions and lively interaction with the group. So it's important when the sun does transit that we access our soul's intelligence, because the soul is represented by the sun. So the sun is not just like a ball in the sky or burning fire in the sky that keeps life alive here on the earth plane. It also impacts each and every one of us from within. And so as we were leaving the sun's transit from our 10th house, which was the house of purpose, we may have gotten some insights, some deeper understanding of what our purpose in life is, not just as far as our career, our job, or our family life, but what our true purpose is here in this lifetime, living on the earth plane. And again, it's not the end result. It's what are we doing? How are we being? What is the divine trying to reveal to our souls so that that gets woken up inside of us, and then we can use that energy or those divine insights, those inspirations to aspire to be more loving human beings, more peaceful human beings, and then live with passion and purpose that is beyond just meeting our basic needs in our lives. So we're going to access the sun's energy from within, which really is going to illuminate our soul's purpose right now. So we might burn through some layers of consciousness that we haven't been able to access until now. For those of you who need to go, thanks for joining. We will have the recordings made available as soon as we can. Our volunteers who have been posting the blogs and sending the emailers, they are on the birthday trip with Dr. Pillai in India, so they haven't had internet access to be able to do that. So I apologize for that, although you can listen to the recording that has been sent to you, the call, the playback details. The recording of the call can be listened to. You should have received those details in here when you signed up for the program, for the call-in details, and then it has playback recording. I can give you that again before we end this call. So listen to the recording in the meantime, and then hopefully by next week we'll get Alex to post the recordings to the blog that we missed in the past couple of weeks, if you were looking there for those recordings. And then Yagna will be back doing the newsletters. We miss them so much. So have a great week for those of you who need to go. For those of you who are going to stay, then we'll talk a little bit about more about Shivaratri coming up and the importance of connecting with Shiva's energy once every year so that we can access a deeper state of our soul. And then understand, have a better understanding of what we need to do in this lifetime, what the true purpose of our life is as it unfolds. However, for now, we are going to get to the point of the program where we invite Radha to come on. I hope that you have had a couple of minutes to come back, Radha, from the meditation. I'll just open the line so you can share with us the forecast of the sun transit.
Good morning, Sucharita. Can you hear me?
I sure can. How are you doing, Radha? Thanks for joining.
Oh, sure. Thank you. I enjoyed the meditation. It was really, really nice.
Oh, good. Good. So what can you tell us about the sun transiting into Aquarius?
Okay. Well, the sun transited into Aquarius on February 12th, this past Thursday. And the sun is going to continue to be in Aquarius until March 14th. And so this month, the sun is going to be powering up or illuminating Aquarius, which is the most humanitarian of all the signs. And a humanitarian is someone who works to make other people's or other beings' lives better. And the sun, as you may remember, signifies our soul, our activity in the world, and our vitality and energy and health. And the sign of Aquarius is ruled by Saturn, which is a planet of patience and endurance, limitations, compassion, and service. So all of those energies are going to come to play this month. Now, a little bit of background about Aquarius. In Sanskrit, its name is Kumbha, and its symbol is a person bearing an empty water pot. Now, it's said that this water pot can symbolize the individual consciousness, and the water symbolizes prana, which is the cosmic life force making up everything. And the interesting thing is that the fact that the pot is empty means that the person has shared the prana with others. So in Aquarius, one important aspect or energy is that the individual's energy can merge with the universal energy. And it's also, Aquarius can give us the ability to be willing to help others and to be selfless and generous and noble. Aquarius also relates to ending the old way of doing things and coming into a new way of life, just like the song, the Age of Aquarius. And an important goal here in Aquarius can be just to turn away from selfishness, the selfishness of the past, and to learn to dedicate our work and our efforts for the common good. So Aquarius is very supportive of innovative thinking and science, technology. And also, one lesson that Aquarius can teach us is that being humble and kind of like negating ourselves, it's not like a sentence to a life of servitude. Instead, it can be an empowering thing, and it can lead us to getting into a higher and much better consciousness. So Aquarius is also the natural 11th house of the zodiac, and the 11th house brings in the energy of profits and gains, also friendships, also fulfillment of desires and manifestations, and the realization of our hopes and dreams. So this month, when the sun is in Aquarius, remember to ask yourself often, am I spending my time in the most profitable way? And this would be a good time to embrace innovative thinking, new inventions, and technologies. And definitely take action for opportunities and profits and gains. This is a great time to network and make contact with friends, influential people, organizations, because often gains will come through friends and other people. And it would be good to focus on what is right with things as opposed to what's wrong, and to avoid fanaticism and avoid being overly idealistic as well. And finally, champion a cause that will help needy people. Do something for charity that will help people who need to be helped right now. And then we have another really interesting transit. It's starting tonight. In Eastern time, it's starting at about 7:35 p.m. Eastern time. Venus is going to be entering into Pisces. And Venus is the planet of love, devotion, luxury, and arts. And Venus, whenever he's placed in Pisces, is exalted, and it has a very strong power and is really able to express his characteristics to the maximum. And, Pisces is the most transcendental of all the signs, and it's a watery sign. And it's the natural 12th house of the zodiac, which has to do with enlightenment, losses, sleep, spiritual pilgrimages, isolated places. So it's really interesting that Venus, the planet of luxury and the arts, has its maximum power when placed in the natural 12th house of enlightenment. And so perhaps the message here is that if you want enlightenment, make sure that you go to the goddess, because Venus, is very, very strongly associated with all the goddesses. Now, there are some other things going on in Pisces that are going to increase this Venetian power. Ketu, the saintly planet, is also in Pisces, and Ketu is going to be in Pisces for the next maybe 11 months or so, 10 or 11 months. And Ketu feels pretty comfortable in Pisces, and so he can Astrovet has noted that in this position he can bless us with four types of assets, which would be wisdom, real estate, wealth, and honor. And another energy that's going on with Pisces is that Pisces overlord is the 200% Jupiter, the planet of spiritual blessings and material blessings. So basically, Jupiter's like the landlord of Pisces, and Venus is visiting the house of Pisces, and so is Ketu, the saintly planet. Jupiter is also currently exalted and at maximum very, very strong power over in the sign of Cancer. And so since the landlord, the overlord of Pisces, is so strong, he's just going to be giving his positive blessings and support to this Venetian energy, the goddess energy. And there's one more thing that's happening in Pisces currently. Mars is in Pisces, and Mars is the planet of courage and problem solving. So this is also interesting because, you know, Mars is, the overlord of Mars is Maruga, the Pleiadian planet, the planet of the Pleiades, who are bringing in the beings who are helping the Earth plane to evolve to a higher consciousness. And so that energy gets added to the mix. And then the other thing is whenever Mars and Venus are together in a sign, it creates a tremendous amount of passion. So the next 3.5 weeks where Venus is exalted in Pisces, definitely it's going to be a really fertile period of time, and especially for focusing on manifesting the positive relationships that you want, whether romantic relationships, friendships, business, family, and also for manifesting the positive prosperity that you want in your life, accumulating wealth, jewelry, and property. So that's going to be a really interesting transit. And then I think the other biggest thing that we have is that tomorrow night, or depending on where you are in the world, it'll be either Monday night or into Tuesday night, we're going to have Mahashivaratri, which is the night of Shiva. And this is, and we can talk more about this. I'm sure Sutrita will have more to add, and everyone on the line may have experiences to share too. But, you know, this is the night of Shiva. That it happens once a year. It's on the 14th, waning moon. It, during the month when Sun is in Aquarius. And so this is the night where everyone has a chance to be uplifted into a higher level of consciousness. And it's also kind of like, you know, Shiva can take away a lot of karma on this night. And millions of people in the world will stay awake throughout the night and not eat anything, just maybe just have liquids or something, just so fasting. And then repeating Shiva's mantras during the night. And also pouring milk or juice and or water and over a Shiva lingam, and you could make it as elaborate as you want, because, you know, if you're staying up all night or most of the night, you probably do have the time to do it. You know, you could pour, you know, do the Abhishekam with even like yogurt or buttermilk, water with sandalwood. Rose water, different lovely things, offer flowers, offer the light from the ghee lamp and the incense. That's a big deal that's coming up. You know, it only happens once a year, and Dr. Pillai is going to be holding a Mahashivaratri webcast, and it's going to be on Tuesday, February 17th at 1:30 p.m. Eastern Time. And Astroved will also be holding rituals. They'll be doing, you know, Abhishekam several times at intervals during the night. And it's a great opportunity. We're really looking forward to that. And let's see, where you are in the world would depend on what day you would celebrate it. Like for me in Pacific time on the West Coast, the 14th waning moon is starting like at 11 p.m. on Monday night. And so I plan to practice to celebrate it that night. But then one could also practice it on the Tuesday night, because that's a day that starts with the 14th waning moon. It becomes the new moon about, 10:30 that night Eastern time. One could celebrate it on both nights if you're up for it. So it kind of depends on your time zone and what's possible for you. But I imagine you may have some info to share on Mahashivaratri as well, Sucharita.